The World Show with Nikki B.
Every Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m.
on Kaya 959.
Well, I do have Salalo on Zoom, but let's try again and hope for the best. Salalo, are you there?
I'm there, Nikki.
Ah, that sounds perfect. Welcome to the World Show, Salalo Selota.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me. It's beautiful.
I haven't seen you for so long. And I'm so sorry you're not in the studio when all of this is over in a couple of months. You're going to have to come back in the studio. Yes. So, yes. Absolutely. So,
Definitely.
Yes. Thank you so much. Salalo Selota, you know, I decided to save what I'm going to save for when I'm on air. And when I invited you to come on Best of the Best, I started thinking about you and our story together. Me on air, you as a musician. And if my memory serves me correctly, the first radio interview you did for your first album was on the World Show.
Yes, we were still rolling with Mamudieri.
Exactly. And as I was saying to you, I came with all your albums tonight. We probably won't play them because I want to focus on the new one. But Mamudieri was one of the songs that I wanted to play today. So I'm not sure what we will get through. But how have you been, Salalo? Where have you been? Besides your new album, why haven't we seen each other for so long?
I have been working, I have been writing a lot of material, a lot of the rainbow, but I've been working quite hard and I have not been going out, I must admit. I have not been going out, even though I used to go out quite easily, but over the past years I've been keeping at home.
Yes.
But I'm very happy. I mean, I was following you. I could even hear you when you broadcast from Paris or France. Oh, it was great.
Thank you, Salalo. Thank you so much.
Yes.
But you know, Salalo, one of the reasons I wanted to Best of the Best, because I feel that they're such important musicians. And, and I decided I want to celebrate people while they're alive. I know you're still young, so I'm not worried about you. But on that note, I think that I have got a lot of new listeners over the years since you were last on the World Show. So, you're laughing.
I'm still young.
You're still young. You're still a spring chicken. Whoa. Like me.
We are still young, that's for sure.
Yes. But on that note, I thought let's go back a little bit to the beginning, because I love your story of how you came to be working professionally with music. Tell us a little bit about the journey from your home and where the music started and how it brought you to Johannesburg.
I think the music started very, very, very early, even though I was not sure if I was going to become a musician. I started imitating the sounds that I was hearing from the records that my uncles were bringing home, imitating them with my mouth, like imitating the melodies and so on. And because they are catchy, they were catchy melodies of Masatini, Maotela Queens and so on. But at the same time, as a shepherd as well, a head boy, I started picking up the melodies of the birds.
Yes.
And because they're also repetitive melodies, I started imitating them. And when I repeat them, they become rhythmic. And then I realized that I was making them into songs, you know?
Yes.
And then there was this other element of our own people at home in the village who will gather, and after they've had a party or they were drinking mabele, you know, mkomboti, they will start singing and beating the drum. So all those melodies, and there was this element of the traditional, anything that has to do with music, even the traditional sangomas that are singing, maybe somebody is being welcomed or being trained. I would listen to that and imitate that as well. So everything, I think music was just calling. I just responded at the right time.
So in a sense, we could say that you were collecting all your material even before you knew you would be involved in music.
Exactly. And even that is why, even when after matric, when I went to work in the mines,
yes,
And it was a very unique space for me because the Peri-speaking people in the mines were always the minority. The Peris, the Venda-speaking and the Tsonga-speaking were minority.
Yes.
Most people, all the blocks, you would say you have the Batswana block, you have the Zulu block, you have the Xhosa block, but there was no the Mapedi block or the Tsonga block.
Yes.
As a result, you know, I had to stay wherever I can, sometimes with the Batswana block, sometimes with the Bazulu block. So now, during weekends, they have this umshongolo, where they dance in the amphitheater and beat their traditional and play their traditional drums and dance. I started collecting all that. So the collection was not, it didn't end at home. It continued in the mines as well.
Yes. And do you think in some ways this is, you know, and especially because we are talking those times where, as you say, there was a block for each a group, you know? But do you think in some ways this is why you embraced so many different influences and that it became easy for you as a Pedi to be able to play Zulu music, for instance?
I think so. I think it started that way, whereby I started appreciating all of those. You know, it was funny. I even ended up joining a Zulu soccer team in the mine.
Okay.
Because, you know, they would say to me, oh, that one is Mupedi wa Melona. Like, this one is my Mupedi. Well, because also I was gifted in soccer, as I guess everybody wanted to be around me. They would want to recruit me so that I can play with them in their teams, whether it's a team from Lesotho or from Botswana. They would also, apart from the traditional dances and groups, they will also have teams of different tribes in the mines. And I was playing with any team I feel like. This year I play with this team, next year I play with another team.
Yes, amazing. And now, in fact, I want to hear about what happened in your move to Joburg. But I think let's start with a song of the new album, Eight Colors of the Rainbow. And I'm going to play the title track. Maybe I should just play it and then we'll discuss it afterwards. Because I think it talks about the reason why. Eight colors.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Salalo Solota with me, Nikki B, on The World Show. And right now we're going to play the title track of Salalo's latest album. Came out last year, am I right? Towards the end of last year.
Came out last year, yes.
But for me, it is Salalo Solota's brand new album. Coming up now, Eight Colors of the Rainbow. Yes, Salalo Solota on The World Show. That is the title track of his latest, Eight Colors of the Rainbow. How beautiful is that? And it's also the opening track on the album. What a way to open that album. I want to speak to you about Eight Colors, but still, before we get there, I just want to go back again. So now you were working at the mine, Salalo. What happened then, and how did you decide, I'm going to follow my dream of music?
Well, you know, when I was in the mine, it was just after and you formed under President Ramaphosa.
Yes.
Big daddy.
Yes.
And there was this strike that happened, but while I was in the mines, I started toying around with there was a man from Eastern Cape by the name of Hanson Mdimithi. He was an accordion player. I used to follow him every time when he's carrying his accordion, and you're asking him if I could play a little bit on his accordion. A few months later, after I got acquainted with accordion, another man who was living in the same room where I was living, his name was Chilis from Lesotho.
Yes.
He also bought an accordion, and now it was in my room that I asked him. He was playing this Lesotho song, so so I started learning to play the accordion, and then later I started following the guys who are playing guitar. You know, you'll find a Zulu guy with another one holding a concertina, and they are walking around. The other one is playing acoustic guitar, and they're just playing. So I became aware of the accordion, the guitar, and the concertina in the mines before I could see the guitar at close range. And I decided, when the mine was in the depth of the strike of 1987, I decided, this is not where I'm going to end my life. I'm going to leave this place and I'm going to start looking for something new. I did not know that a few months later, I would come to Johannesburg and bump into Market Theatre, which is next to FUBA, that where now National Arts Council is, was FUBA Academy, where Mr. Zepamla, the writer and the playwriter, was running an art school. And I took the money that was supposed to be for clothes and registered to become a music student.
Yes. It's amazing now because we don't even have a FUBA left, eh? And that was such an iconic space.
It was an iconic space. Most of us came through that. Before we could go to university, I had to pass grade 5 through FUBA before I can go and apply at university. So I'm very disappointed that an institution like that does not exist, because I saw the value of it. The Moses Molelekwas who've been there, the Jeff Mapayas who've been there, Selalo Slotas, yes. The Judith Sipumas, we all have been there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And now that you've registered there, you also started working, was it part-time cleaning?
I started working all the money that I had from the mines. I mean, Nikki, you know, I was in the mines, I was earning about 32 rands per week.
Whoa.
And then by the time I got to Joburg, I realized that what I saved was actually 4,000 something. I had it in Allied Building Society. I don't know if people remember that. I had about 4,000 rands. And after some time, it was all gone. And I was looking for a job. But now every night I would get out of FUBA and stand in front of Kippies, where musicians were playing there, Bayete, Tananas, Steve Newman and Tananas, or Basil Manimbe Kutsie. And one day, the man said, "Job, you know, I can talk to Miriam there at the Market Theatre." And he spoke to Miriam, and soon I was roped in into Kippies to now be a cleaner. You know, fate kind of took me and put me into another institution. FUBA on the other side, Kippies on the other side. I was having theoretical school on the other side, and in Kippies I was seeing practical institution with my own eyes. I was seeing musicians play and touching instruments.
Yes. So was that the point? When did you decide, hang on, I want to be on the stage where Steve Newman is? At what point, or was that an evolution, or did that kind of make you decide?
You know, I was very doubtful about myself. And there was an actor whose name was Solomzi Bisholo. One day, he found me next to Kippies holding my acoustic guitar. He says, "Can you play a song?" I said, "Yes, I can play one song only. I don't know many songs."
Yes.
So I learned this song. I don't even know whose song was it. I was learning it from a book. It's called "And She Let Her Hair Down." So I strummed these three chords repeatedly. And then when I finished, he put a 2-rand note, you know, that 2-rand note that had Jan van Riebeck head on it.
Yes.
And he put another one, he says, "Play it again." I played it again. He put another one, he says, "Play it again." I was not aware that actually that was training me and actually getting me to relax.
Yes.
And when I realized that, I was like, no, maybe this is where I could go. This is what I could do. But then at the same time, somebody who was my manager kind of dismissed when I asked him, because it was during a show of Bani Rachavani and Bruce Cassidy, Conversations.
Yes. Wow.
And I said, "I see these great musicians. Are you going to give me a chance one day?" He said to me, he's going to start a record label and record their performance at Kippies. I said, "Are you going to sign me and record me while I'm performing at Kippies?" He said, Oh, Timmy, please relax. That was Erfan Gillen.
Oh, wow. There we go.
He was my manager.
Yes.
So now I started having this vengeance in my heart. I say, "I'm going to show him one day. I'm going to show him one day." He didn't know that he gave me the determination to prove him wrong.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yes.
Amazing. Absolutely.
So that actually propelled me. But at the same time, people like Steve Newman were welcoming. Steve would record something on cassette, I think, at Shifty Records. And then on weekends, he liked to perform at the Market Theatre, Flea Market, and have another young woman from London, from the UK, who played cello to accompany him.
Yes.
And then I asked Steve if I could walk around the people selling his cassettes while he's playing. And,
okay.
And you know, he used to give at the end of Steve Moy and Ian Hammond.
Yes. So, but really, you know, this, all of this says, shows me that on one hand, you were driven by something that was bigger than you. But on the other hand, it's the kind of forthrightness that I've always known Salalo Salota for going ahead and not being scared.
Yes.
And just looking, being at the right place at the right time and going for it, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
That has not stopped. That has not stopped. And I don't think it's going to stop now.
Good. I'm very happy to hear that, because I think there's a lot we've got to speak about when we chat today. But for now, let's hear another song of Eight Colors of the Rainbow. And I decided on this one. Just because. Ding, ding, ding. Tell me about ding, 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 Salalo.
You know? I was on a talent hunt in Northern Cape in Upington, and it was, the sun was going down. I looked at the sunset, and I called my wife. I said, and she was not sounding happy. I say, okay, is it what? Am I not speaking dirty like to you? You know, to make you get excited.
Yes.
So. Okay, fine. What are you going to do with that? And I started strumming my guitar that very evening. And then, voila, I started writing the lyrics. When I came back and I said, here's the song, ding, ding, ding. It was like, you are joking, right? You're not going to record that song. You're just having fun. You're not going to record that song. And I felt deep in my heart that, no, this is it. I am going to lay it down.
Yes.
And of course, when I finally did Eight Colors of the Rainbow, I felt very strongly that this song has to be part of it.
Absolutely. And I'm so pleased you explained it, because I kind of felt it was about that.
It's just me, the other side of me. I wanted to be seen as this guy who's walking on a tropical island and, you know, eating some, having some coconut in my hand and a hat and a colorful shirt unbuttoned. And
Absolutely. Let's hear it from Salalo Salota, today's special guest on Best of the Best, coming up off his new album, which is Eight Colors of the Rainbow. It's an absolutely a beautiful offering. Check it out. This one is Ding, Ding, Ding.
You got a ding, 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 ding. You gotta know that you look so fine. You make my heart go boom, boom, boom. And if you have fun,
so that is a lot. Absolutely beautiful. I was getting too excited about the song. What a cool, fun, just loving song. Loving song.
Know?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those songs that says to me that this, my friend, my brother Salalo, is in a good place. You know, it's the lightness of life. And in fact, I'm going to jump a little bit forward, even though I think we're going to go backwards again. But
yes.
But Eight Colors of the Rainbow.
Yes.
The eighth color being?
The eighth color being love.
Exactly.
Love is the eighth color of the rainbow. Without love, there is no way that what we believe, that we are a people with different cultures, diverse backgrounds, diverse cultures, that we could come together, glue that us together, is that unconditional love is the eighth color of the rainbow. It is the eighth color of any, it's eighth color of life, you know, the essence of living.
Yes.
If you can live through that and see, be able to appreciate the other person and be able to share with them what you feel and have empathy towards them, then there won't be any differences. There will not be classes anymore. We will be just able to live as people. And that is a dream for me. it might be a dream that I might never see in my lifetime, but I think it's good for me to talk about it, to talk about my wishes, to talk about what I dream about.
Absolutely, and not just to talk about it, but to start living in that. You know, it's so interesting for me, Salalo, yes. Because this week I got the brand new Lo Kwakhanza album and the brand new Angelique Kidjo album, and both the songs off those albums that I started tonight's show with, we're speaking yes. about the exact same thing you are speaking about. And the importance of this in these times.
In these times.
Yes.
In these times, I mean, we really, really need each other. Not only needing each other, but we also need to take care of each other. We need to look out for each other and protect each other. Because we are a human race.
Yes.
We
yes.
are one race, and that race is called the human race. And that in that way, if we can look at the flowers of the forest and see how harmonious they are within that the flowers of the human race in that sense, and actually harmonize each other.
Absolutely. And I think also for me, what's come up from this pandemic ever more than before, and I think you are addressing some of these issues in this album, which is community. And again, yes. we have different communities. I've got a community that I got to know through my son going to school. I've got a community where I live. I've got a musicians community. I've got, you know, so we have different communities. But I yes. think that's very much what it's about now, and that ties in with the concept of love.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you. That is how I feel. My heart wants to be walking in that space, nothing else.
Yes, absolutely. Now, these songs off Eight Colors, did you write them? You know, when were they written? Were some of them written before 2020? Or when did these songs come up?
Well, I mean, a song like Eight Colors of the Rainbow, I wrote it in 2018. But while I was recording Eight Colors of the Rainbow, like last year, at the peak of Black Lives Matter, that's when a song like I'll Ask Freedom came rushing through my head. And I wrote that song, I'll Ask Freedom, based on my response to seeing what was going on with this Black Lives Matter. But at the same time, I looked at it and reflected at the same time of what do I see? What is freedom? I'm going to ask freedom to tell me when the promised land that it promised me. Because at the same time, I was asking myself many questions about our own freedom. What did it bring as well? So Black Lives Matter revived in me the questions about what have we achieved since our freedom as well. So it is to, on the other side, it is a response to Black Lives Matter. On the other side, it is me asking, because what I found is when I meet people and ask for help, for instance, yes. I do also ask for help sometimes.
Of course.
Everybody does ask for help sometimes.
Yes.
They have this thing. The South African people or people in general have this tendency to say, but we are a free nation now. You know, we are free people. South Africa is alive with possibility. So if we are free, it should be possible for you to do anything.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And so my response to them was like, okay, fine. I will go and ask freedom. Because yes. you are tired of listening to me while I'm asking. Let me go and ask freedom. And when I ask freedom, freedom will reflect to you what the gains that you have because of freedom will reflect. Did you get more freedom than me? Freedom yes. is about equaling, making us all equal and giving us that room to be equal, all of us.
Thank you. And we come back to that human race you spoke about. I think on that note, I have to change yeah. my mind. I was going to play another song, but I think I'm going to have to play. Yes, but I'm going to play that still. But I think for now, let's see what happened when Salalo went to ask for freedom. It is the World Show, and we are celebrating a true best of the best. Salalo Selota is with us, and I'm so excited. Go ask freedom.
Thank you.
Kaya 959. Salalo Salota, can you hear me, Salalo?
I can hear you.
Oh, good, good, good. We lost each other for a moment there. Wow, we're in level four now, we've just heard. Level four. So I've got to get you in the studio when we come out of all of this. But that one is I Will Ask Freedom. Absolutely beautiful. Tell us about the woman who's singing with you on that song, Salalo.
Oh, the young woman who's singing there is, she goes by the name LB.
Yes.
And I think her full name is Lauren Ball. She's from South LA. Very, very gifted singer. One of, I don't know, she's got something very special. She came to South Africa, I think, in 2018 as a support act for Katy Perry.
Okay.
At the Dome. And you know how our country is.
Yes.
After the concert, she looked at the lights of Johannesburg and she said, I ain't leaving. I'm staying right here.
Yes.
So she is in the country and I got the opportunity to drag her to the studio.
Oh, amazing, amazing. And you know, on that note, Salalo, I can't, you know, chat to you as looking at your history and whatever, without acknowledging the work that you've done in finding talent and in growing that talent and allowing it to blossom. I mean, I think most people from my generation or yours will know that you were, you know, the start of Judith Sapuma's career. I was even looking at Tennille Nelson. You've always sought these different talents and seen a place to work as a producer as well as a musician.
Actually, Tennille is the one who introduced me to Lauren Ball, to LB.
Okay.
Yes.
Amazing.
They are friends.
Yes, amazing.
Friends.
And are you still...
Hello,
yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Salalo.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Yes, so, you know, speaking about, and not just people like Judith or Tennille that you made, kind of you launched their careers as solo artists, but you've also given so many young instrumentalists the opportunity. So many instrumentalists have come through what I call the University of Salalo Salota.
Yes, other vocalists, Labella, the late Labella, Malachi, and then we had people like Kumo Kanyago, the guitarist.
Yes.
You have the Luanda Madopes who worked with me as well. There are plenty, there are many. Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And still, in terms of your band now, you know, the last time I saw you, you always made sure you had the young guns there, you know?
Yes. So,
yes. So
I still do today. I have a young band that is going on, but I give them 3-4 years, and then I release them one after the other. And every time they mature, I tell them it's time to get on their own feet and build their own house.
I've always seen you do that, Salalo, and I've watched some of them, as you say, go on to make amazing careers for themselves. Yes. So now, let's go back to Eight Colors of the Rainbow. When you know, looking at the promo material, you've made a point of saying, I want this album to address many of the issues that we face in South Africa today.
Yes.
Tell us about, you know, why you did that and how you believe that music is a tool for information, for education, for inspiration.
Music for me has always been part of the information technology. It travels very fast. It takes the news around the world in a very short space of time. And there was a challenge that every time I meet journalists, they would always say, these days, we are listening to boom, boom, boom music. You guys are not writing music that's got message. Look, the country has got problems. Look, the youth are into nyaupes and so on and so on. And I am like, we do write these songs, but they are not played on air.
Yes.
People want dancing music. They want the boom, boom, the programs, the radio formats are going the route of let's move, it's time. The pace of radio is going faster and faster, and people are don't want to be listening to I Will Ask Freedom. But so my response is that I'm going to continue being the voice. I'm going to continue inviting my peers, my peer group, my peer to say, let's send messages out there so that they can know that we did send it out there. Some, the message will reach the ears. Some of it won't, but some of it will reach the ears. And those that did not hear it from us, they will hear it from other people.
Absolutely. It is about spreading that message, and somehow it starts seeping through, even if, you know, I've always had this theory of like, Salalo Selota, let me say I live, well, in Johannesburg. Salalo Selota yes. came to play at a certain venue, or maybe even let's think of a bigger performance at a festival or at the stadium. And I yes. feel that not just the people who are at the concerts are benefiting from that message, but even those living there who can't even hear the music are actually yes. benefiting from the beautiful energy that's being spread.
Exactly. That you said it so correctly. You can feel that energy. You can feel it. Even us, when I perform the music, I feel I need, the more I zoom into the people, I can feel they feed, you know, that energy comes through. And then I know that they just gave me wings to fly. Let me fly.
And on that note, Salalo, having seen you perform on various occasions, that's what you do. I think half the time you don't even know where you're going next. It's the audience who lets you know where you're going to go next.
Exactly.
That's how much of an interchange you have when you perform. That is true.
That is so true.
Yes. But things have changed a lot, you know, since I started the World Show, since the first time Salalo came on the World Show with your first album. Things have changed a lot in the music industry as a whole. How do you perceive those changes?
Well, I've been finding in my future, this is just, so gradually I've been learning to understand what is going on, the digital.
Yes, the whole digital change. We just lost Salalo for a minute there.
The digital space and problem seems here.
Yes, continue.
I'm sorry about that. Yes, so gradually I'm beginning to understand and...
We keep losing Salalo. But these are the challenges we face. I think I'm going to play another song, and I'm sure we'll get him back on the line. This one is a track that I wanted to play just now, and it's called Kebao. It's off Salalo Selota's latest album, 8 Colors of the Rainbow. You are speaking with me, Nikki B. It is the World Show. Salalo Selota on the World Show. Kaya 959 on the street, on the air. What a beautiful song. Kebao of Salalo Selota's 8 Colors of the Rainbow. Now I've got Salalo back, but he's with us on the phone. I can't see his face now, unfortunately, but that doesn't matter. At least we are blessed already to be able to see his face. Salalo, what a beautiful song. I want you to tell
Thank
us
you.
About it, but before that, I just want to say that I got a beautiful message here from Noliqua, who says, gosh, this guy is amazing. You definitely have a way of sifting the African gems. And you know what that reminded me of, Salalo? I remember many years ago when you were playing at Opikopi.
Yes.
And you know, those days Opikopi was very much your young students, your Afrikaans crowds. And this guy came up to me and he couldn't believe, is this music from South Africa? But yes, of course it was. Yes.
You know, earlier when you mentioned that you got recordings from Angelique Kidjo from Lokua Kanza, you know, those are the people. With Angelique Kidjo, it was when I was still at university when she came with Agolo. And when I looked at the musicians she worked with then, I realized that she was working with very good, great musicians there. I remember the producer was this American pianist who used to play with Branford Marsalis.
Yes.
And then I had Lokua's music. You know, you remember Shadow Dancer and all that stuff.
Yes.
And then fortunately, some years later, in 2003, I was built to perform at the Nuit Afrique.
And Lokua was actually the ambassador for the festival that year. I was actually getting on stage just before Lokua in Montreal, at the Dome there in Montreal.
Amazing.
We had an amazing concert together. And I think this was after I saw him at the then Mega Music. If you remember, Mega Music came there using two percussionists or so.
That's yes.
Not the whole band, yeah. So people like Lokua, for instance, people like Richard Bonner, I saw how they could take their own music from home and the essence and the nuances and now start pushing the envelope, going into the world and sharing it with them, bringing that sound that you now have been hosting for so many years, Niki. You have maintained that our voice kept on ringing through this show. I'm really thankful for now. I'm just saying I would like to just honor the moment that you actually brought this music to all of us, and we became aware of the Lokua Kanzas, the Richard Bonners, and so on.
Thank you so much, Selalo. If you can see, I'm actually holding my hands together in a thank you pose. Thank you, Selalo, for saying that. And thank you for being one of those musicians in my musical life that has made it such a rich journey as well. You know, I really, as I said, going back, I had this memory that it was the first interview you did for your first solo album. And look where
we... You know what Misha and Karel called me?
Yes.
Opie Kopi.
Yes.
They called me the rock and roll person trapped in a jazz because my performances at Opie Kopi, I remember when I did that. Are you talking about the one where it was at Northam?
At where?
The one held in Northam, in the forest.
Yes.
Oh, that is the original Opie Kopi.
Exactly, exactly. And and you were one of the first black musicians to perform there.
Yeah, I remember before Busi Masasela as well.
He became popular
with crowds there. That is something else. There, the festival allowed one to say, this is who I am, this is where I come from. And you bring yourself as a whole, not as bits and pieces of yourself. And I felt Opie Kopi was giving that platform, and it was time for me. Opie Kopi was giving the kind of a world stage,
yes,
you know, that so I can say it was a world stage already. Before anybody could sing anything, Opie Kopi provided the world stage, and hence people like yourself, we were drawn there because we are into the music of the human race.
Absolutely. So beautifully, beautifully said. Wow, Selalo, it is so amazing chatting to you. I want to play another song. In fact, the reason I'm going to move on now is because I want to play at least two more songs before I let you go tonight. And this next one is, I'm sure I'm going to have to work on the pronunciation. Tietse Ngwana.
Tietse Ngwana.
You're not too bad. Tell us about this. Yes.
Not too bad. Tietse Ngwana is, if you listen to it, it's almost like a lullaby. I'm trying to send a message to a younger person to always have faith and always listen to the words that have been passed on to them, to the essence of life. What is life saying to you? It is, if you listen, you don't only hear the people who are talking to you in a positive way, but also we must be able to listen to life. Life speaks to us in many ways, in different ways. And the song is more like a lullaby. As I say, part of my musicality grew through the lullabies that I started with, getting from my grandmother, from my mother, and so on and so on. The kind of songs that are in the Amabali storytelling that also sound like lullabies and so on, they come from there. So Tietse Ngwana also is one thread that comes from that.
Thank you so much. And I've always enjoyed every album. You've had one or two songs that go back to that lullaby feel. And this one is as equally beautiful. In fact, it was one of those that caught my attention when I first heard Eight Colors of the Rainbow. I'm speaking to Salalo Salota. I'm so excited, but I still want him in the studio, so we're going to do that when things open up a bit. But please, people, send your love. Of course, for now, you can do it on the page, The World Show, with Nikki B on Facebook. On Twitter and Instagram, it's Nikki B Global. Coming up now, I'm going to try again, Salalo. Tietse Ngwana.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you.
Kaya 959. Wow. Tietse Ngwana, Salalo Salota, how beautiful, how absolutely beautiful, wow.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks.
I did not know it can sound so beautiful on radio.
Yeah, oh wow. For me too, you know, because I can listen loud in the studio, so... Sure, that is so, so beautiful. Thanks also to Mbos Allah, who just wrote in and said, tuned in, fire, 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 heart, heart, heart. People are just loving you. So many people are listening and loving, and I'll have to get back to all those messages later. Once again, you are just truly, Salala, blowing us away. Now, I'm not going to end this feature with... because I wanted to play some of the new songs, although that's an all-time classic. But I do want to ask you the story about the recent events surrounding Hrpa, because it seems like your song was taken and used in other ways, if I can put it that way, without your consent.
Yes. Well, you know, I knew it was going to happen. I saw it coming, and that is the reason why many people, including in my house, I was asked, why did you pay money and trademark the name, the word Hrpa?
Yes.
And I said, it happened after 10 years, you know, after I've released the album. But I've been performing, by that time I had been performing it for like 17 years.
Yes.
For now, when I started seeing that when I get to the malls, I go to places, people are sometimes not even, from the very onset when they meet me, are not calling me, hey, Salalo, how are you doing? Others would just come and say, Hrpa, how are you?
Yes.
So I felt, if that is going to be the situation, I better own this, because then it might end up being just another township slang, you know, it doesn't belong to anybody.
Yes.
But since I composed a song that is it, so I trademarked Hrpa.
So you actually had trademarked it. Amazing.
Yes, I do have a, it is certificated, it's a trademark. It is a trademark which is now, I'm busy manufacturing in the clothing range, in terms of the classes.
Yes.
In the toy range, in the classes of the toys and so on, you know. So now, because, you know, corporate will want something that will rhyme with the grassroots people.
Yes.
And I felt they encroached on my space by saying, now the Simba Chiefs, which we know that their motto, it roars with flavor, they would come and say, it says Hrpa when you eat it. And I felt I needed to take it up and raise my voice and say, this is infringing on my copyright, also on my trademark. And that's how it ended up getting into the public space.
Well, I think that is such an amazing story, also because it really, you know, highlights this issue of copyright. And it's almost like a warning call to other young creators of the importance of knowing those elements of your brand. And if you hadn't taken action earlier on, you probably wouldn't have had a leg to stand on when it came to the chip brand using it. And wasn't it also on walls? You started seeing it on walls, on murals.
On the walls, yes. It was on the murals, on the walls. And It is everywhere. So what I did, I took one picture and shared with friends. I said, please look into Seshego in Polokwane if you see this. Please look into East London if you see this. And people sent back from Ntanzani in East London and say, yes, this is on this corner of the street, this corner of the street, this one is on this corner of the street. So then I knew that it was a national thing that they did.
Yes,
and that's how I raised my concerns, and we ended up where we are, which is still a matter that is going on.
Okay, well, I hope you resolve it well into your favor, Salala. But I'm pleased. Thank you for sharing that story. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, and I want to end with one more song. I could play every single song, and I will over the weeks and months. But I decided to play Ma.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, you've also always had a song about a mother on your albums, or most of your albums have had something which refers back to motherhood.
Mother or grandmother. Also.
Mother, yes. Mother or grandmother, yes.
Over the years, I saw, you know, when I was young enough, when my mother got married, actually she left me with my grandfather and grandmother. They became my mother. I used to call my grandmother Ma. And I was taken care of with such love. But later, after my grandfather has passed on, my mother took my grandmother from 1990.
Yes.
And looked after her until end of 2019 when she passed on. She was 105 years. Hence, I had songs like Grandma Song that you sing. No. I was taught that rhyme. I was taught by her.
Yes.
But I also saw how my mother looked after her own mother from 1990 until now in 2019 and how she loved her. So I learned to appreciate a mother and daughter, a mother and child love relationship from my grandmother and then from my mother loving her own mother the way she did. And I felt that love also towards me. And I felt many a times I don't hear men singing about mothers. You know, even though it is very known that a baby guy wants to say "bomma barile."
Yes,
mother, my mother said, "You can't change him anymore." And I felt it was my turn to pay tribute to my mother and thank her for the love that she showed me, for the love that she taught me. Ma is dedicated to all the mothers in the whole world who actually are able to give their child that love, who are able to show that love, you know, abound. Every woman that is out there, this song is for you. This song is for me. I'm sharing it with them. All the other people who can send that message, you can sing that message. They can play this song to their mother.
Thank you so much, Salala. You know, I can't believe how much time has flown now because I feel like there's still a million questions I want to ask you. And we've been together for like an hour and a half already or something like that. So you have to come in once we're over this third wave. We're going to make a plan, get you in. Who knows, you might even bring your guitar with you. That would be ideal. But Salala,
I will bring it. Yeah, I will bring it.
Thank you, Salala, for your work, for... I want to personally thank you, and I think I do this on behalf of so many people. Thank you for the music you've made and spread. Thank you for the skills that you have imparted and the knowledge that you've imparted to so many who followed. Thank you for the inspirational songwriting. Thank you for being somebody who's a proof that you can come from very, very humble beginnings and you can reach your dreams and go even beyond. Thank you, Salalo Salota.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nikki, on the World Show. Thank you. Thank you on Nikki on Global. Thank you so much for opening that door. Thank you for the platform. And I'm grateful that you are there. From the very first time that my friend Jeff Mapaya said to me, there is this person you have to know and listen to her show on Kaya FM. He was so right. That is the first time I heard about you from Jeff Mapaya, and I thank him as well. Thank you so much for keeping us going and inspiring us as well.
Well, you know, I always play music that deserves to be heard. Thank you, Salalo Salota. We're going to end with Ima. Don't forget, you've got to get yourself a copy of Eight Colors of the Rainbow. I've only managed to share with you a few of these incredibly inspirational songs.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Every Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m.
on Kaya 959.